everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. Millions of you continue to tune in, and we want to just say that we thank you for it. By the way, this is some of what we're going to be talking about.
I've spoken to the biggest crowds. Nobody's spoken to crowds bigger than me. If you look at Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King? What is it with Mr. Trump's bizarre messaging lately? We're going to tell you what the polls are saying. The hard truth right here. I'm Rick Sanchez. Let's do this. Okay, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. What do you say we start with this? So here is what the United States of America is doing right now in relation to what may soon turn into a shooting war between Israel and Iran. This is crazy. A naval strike group, complete with a fleet of battleships, carriers, and submarines, headed to the area. President Biden has now signed off on sending anywhere between $16 to $20 billion more dollars of taxpayer money, by the way, to Israel. And number three, we are telling Iran that they have no right to consider retaliation against Israel, and they should just live with the fact that Israel can shoot missiles into their country and assassinate their politicians.
No one wants to see a wider regional conflict. So, you know, hopefully we don't find ourselves in a situation of having to employ those capabilities. But if we need to, in the defense of Israel, we will.
So, in other words, Iran, you better stand down. How dare you be angry about what they did to you? Did you notice, by the way, that he didn't mention what Israel has done at all? Just, we stand behind Israel no matter what they do. Israel assassinated Hezbollah commander Fouad Shukr. He was in Beirut at the time. And then they assassinated the other guy, the Hamas leader, who was actually negotiating a ceasefire. So you kill the guy who's negotiating the ceasefire you're trying to attain. Don't get it. His name, as you probably know, because we've covered this story on a couple of occasions, is Ismail Haniyeh. He was in Tehran at the time, interestingly enough, which doesn't play well with the Iranians. The irony of this whole mess is that while the United States is unequivocally supporting Israel, unequivocally, with a capital UN, and appears ready to start a war over this, Israel's own defense minister has come out this week and blasted the Netanyahu government, saying what it says is doing is, quote, gibberish. So Manila, what I find fascinating about this is you've got people inside of Israel telling the Israeli leader, Netanyahu, you're full of crap, what you're doing is crazy. Meanwhile, the United States is like, oh no, he's, you know, Mother Teresa, let's continue. Whatever he does, we'll back it up. Don't get that. Don't get that. What's it say to the world?
Well, Rick, first we should point out that both things can be false. What we are seeing with Yoav Gallant and the people to the right of Benjamin Netanyahu is internal strife. There is political infighting going on at the Knesset about who wants to be in control, especially because Benjamin Netanyahu is so wildly unpopular in the polls. And he also stands to be, you know, have his day of reckoning in court if and when the day comes that he's no longer prime minister. So let's set that part aside with Israel's internal strife. Over here for the U.S. side, as we just saw the Pentagon brass there, conveniently leave out the full context of why Iran is angry, conveniently. Does it really matter, Rick? That's the big question. Does it even really matter, the actual context? Because as you pointed out, what he said there is the U.S. will unequivocally back and support Israel no matter what. So it doesn't matter what the context here is. The U.S. will continually provide arms and give billions and billions more in continued aid, as well as the annual allowance, I guess we can call it that, that we give Israel anyway.
Yeah,
and
the
then
$4 billion
allowance that we give Egypt every year so they don't pick a fight with Israel. So we're bribing people everywhere, we're coercing people everywhere, and sending this strike group over to Israel, I think, is obviously an escalation of tensions, and this is gonna make the Iranians very nervous, I would say.
Yeah, no, and you don't have to be a geopolitical expert to figure that out. I mean, it's simple math that what we're getting ourselves into is a possible conflagration, that the only people who are going to benefit from this are the people who make bombs. It is what it is. Bye. Let's talk about the presidential campaign right now. Presidential campaign in the United States. Kamala Harris continues to appear extremely coachable, if nothing else. She's sticking to her script, the one they give her. She's not talking to reporters. She's also generally not talking about her policies at all. She's also running away from some of her more liberal policies from the past, like Medicare for All, of which she obviously used to be in favor of.
Harris campaign official tells Fox that if the vice president is elected president, she will not push single payer or Medicare for All. Harris isn't making that case herself publicly yet, though it represents quite an evolution on health care. In 2017, Harris was the first Senate Democrat to co-sponsor Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All bill.
Now let's look at the other side. Trump, meanwhile, appears to have lost his way, though he has a decent record to run on, especially on foreign policy, with the exception of Israel, of course, to differentiate himself for moderates who are looking for somebody to look to. He's not doing that. Instead, he seems to be mired in what appears to be a bizarre need to validate himself with negative attacks and an obsession with how big his crowds are for some reason. Here he is talking about Martin Luther King's crowd size compared to his. Why? Why?
I've spoken to the biggest crowds. Nobody's spoken to crowds bigger than me. If you look at Martin Luther King, when he did his speech, his great speech, and you look at ours, same real estate, same everything, same number of people, if not, we had more.
He's also, and I made a list, he's also talking about the fact that Harris's crowds are not real people. I guess they're robots or fakes or something. I don't know. He says Joe Biden tried to assassinate him, that Biden faked COVID, which, by the way, might be true, but still, why talk about it? His helicopter went down with a black politician who it turns out was the wrong politician that he named, that Kamala Harris really isn't black, while he refuses to pronounce her name. You know, it just, Manila, I'm just thinking, as I'm reading all of this stuff, it leads to the question, you know, has she turned this race around in her direction, or has he? I mean, sometimes you have to ask, are you winning, or is the other guy just wanting to lose?
Oh. That, I know you're going to get tired of hearing this from me, Rick, but I'm still going to say it's only 2 weeks in. We've only learned a week ago who her running mate is going to be. I think it's still too early to actually see which way the wind is really blowing. And I got to ask you, Rick, because I'm a woman, I'm not sure comparing crowd sizes, is that a euphemism for something?
I don't know.
I really don't know.
You're trying to get me fired.
I just can't figure out what the problem here is. Just like he was, you know, he always is talking about little Marco or little hands, big hands. I don't understand.
I'll tell you this. I was talking to a dear friend of mine this morning who happens to be one of our colleagues, and he and I were chatting about this morning. And I told him, you know, it's starting to remind me a little bit because the story starts sounding the same. My dad did that. God bless my dad. Before he passed away, I remember we would always go over there on weekends and spend time with him, and he always would say the same stories over and over again. And I'm starting to see a little bit of that with Mr. Trump, and it's hard to watch, you know? I mean, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, I've noticed. I mean, Trump is, we should note, 78 years old, right? So yeah. He's not that far behind in age from Joe Biden. So, you know, it wouldn't be a crazy idea that perhaps maybe his mind is starting to get to that old man phase, but he certainly still got a lot of gusto behind him
compared to
Joe Biden. But not when you're putting the race against Kamala Harris, who is
and talking about Martin Luther King. Like, dude.
That's never a winning.
Yeah. By the way,
not a winning combination.
My kids to this day say I repeat some of the same stories, just to be fair about that. So, all right. Speaking of Trump Vance's foreign policy, which is in many ways more dependable than Biden's and Harris, if you really look at it, why isn't Donald Trump talking to Americans about the specifics of the military expansionism that we're seeing, that we're engaged in? And I'm going to give you an example. This is one that today, right? This is going on right now. Something that he could and should be addressing. And if not him, somebody. It would be absolutely crazy for the United States of America to allow Ukraine to use F-16s to bomb Russia, right? I mean, if you stop somebody on the street and say, hey, what do you say we send F-16 to bomb? What would they say? They say you're crazy, right? Even more so if they want to use them to bomb inside of Russia. Watch this.
Despite Russia's claim of control over the situation in the Kursk region, Moscow fears that F-16 fighter jets might be used there, the Telegraph informs. According to the news agency, the events in the Kursk region were unexpected for the Russian command.
Now, I want to be really fair about this, right? I, Manila, nobody here, can independently confirm that F-16s have been used into Kursk or any part of Russia, the area where Ukrainian troops, as we told you, have invaded Russia. But there's a lot of buzz. There's a lot of reports that are indicating it might happen, could happen. They're in there somewhere. They're, if not, across the border, they're near the border. Can you imagine the message that sends to the world and the repercussions that could come of this? I mean, and here's what's troubling, Manila, as I look at this. Why? Well, this is why it's important, and this is what you and I were just talking about, right? Why? First of all, is this another trial balloon? U.S. officials said they wouldn't use tanks. We did. We also said we wouldn't send them the Patriot missiles. We did. Now we're saying we're not going to send, we already sent the F-16s. We're not going to allow them to use F-16s into Russia. Are we sure that they're not going to do this? I mean, this is the kind of thing that Donald Trump or somebody in the Republican Party should be saying pointedly and saying, these guys are going to start World War III, and this is exactly how they aim to do it. But nobody's saying it.
Yeah, I mean, we are, Rick. And I think it is important to point out that while we cannot independently confirm if that footage is from the Ukrainians flying any F-16s that have been provided, not directly by Washington, but rather their friends in NATO,
right,
coming from like the Netherlands or Belgium or what have you. But we can't confirm that for sure. But the fact that the F-16s have been promised and upon delivery would, I would say, underscore the escalation happening there, given the recent small incursion, but still an incursion, into Russia proper within the Kursk Oblast. But secondly, Rick, I think it's important to point out that Volodymyr Zelensky, we know, even the mainstream American media is admitting that Ukraine is losing the war, and they are running low on manpower. That's a well-known, established fact at this point. And Volodymyr Zelensky, for all of his efforts, I think is like a petulant child, becoming very angry that nobody's paying attention that much to Ukraine anymore. Everybody's eyes are on Gaza at this point. And I think getting the F-16s is a way of saying, look at me, and sort of his way of beating his chest to try to turn the world attention back to his situation, because if and when peace comes, I think it's not going to be a bright future for Volodymyr Zelensky.
This is a most dangerous game. This really is a most dangerous game, and we need some adults to stand up and say, hey, you know, let's take a look at this. Let's have a conversation about it. But instead, our politicians in the United States are talking about other things and looking elsewhere. That's what I say. Thanks, Manila. Great conversation as usual. We're going to take a little quick break here, but when we come back, we're going to be joined by somebody that I've been following, by the way, for years now, and for whom I've got a lot of respect. If you love truth tellers, and there aren't enough of them, I'm telling you, that's what I was just saying a little while ago, you're going to love this guy. Victor, let's see him. There he is. By golly, Gerald Celente. He's got one of the hottest shows on YouTube. It's called Trends Journal. And he's coming up in just a little bit. There he is. You stay right there. We're going to be right back. Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez, and this is Direct Impact. Joining me now is Gerald Celente, who says it like it is, and he's very often very right. Right now, he is in his last show, which I was listening to. I enjoyed what he was saying. He says, he kept saying this. He kept saying, it's not what you want or what you like. It's what it is. So, Mr. Celente, thank you for being with us. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Blessed to everything I have, but I'm very sad to see the state of the world and the decline of civilization.
Common sense stuff. But by the way, I mentioned that. Explain to our viewers, without doing your entire monologue, what you mean when you say it is what it is. not what we want it to be, but it is what it is.
I'm a trend forecaster. These are some of my books, Trend Tracking, far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Trends 2000, international bestseller. The Trends Journal, a weekly magazine. We started publishing in 1991. I've been at this a lot of years.
Mm-hmm. And you're good.
I look at things the way they are, again, not the way I want them to be. So I became a trend forecaster, and it's in this book, Trend Tracking, again, far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine,
mm-hmm.
when the Iranian conflict broke out back in the late 1970s. And I saw the propaganda going out there, how we have to hate the Iranians for wanting to overthrow the Shah. The people had no idea the United States overthrow and the UK of the democratically elected government of Mossadegh in 1953
mm-hmm.
in Iran. Mossadegh had the nerve, the gall, the arrogance to say, no, that oil does not belong to Anglo-Iranian Oil, better known today as BP, or Standard Oil, better known today as ExxonMobil. That oil belongs to the Iranian people.
Mm.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The only newspaper in the West that I saw that reported in 2017 the details of the United States coup with Winston Churchill and Kermit Roosevelt, with a great-grandson, a grandson of Theodore Roosevelt, the CIA and the MI6 overthrowing the government
mm-hmm.
and bringing in the Shah. And people had no idea about the SAVAK, the secret police. That made the SS look good, and the crimes that were being committed under the Shah.
Mm-hmm.
So when the revolution, now I'm telling you, it's not what you like, what you want, what you believe in, it's what is. So when the revolution started to happen, that's when I became a political atheist. That's when I don't believe in any of the political systems anymore. And I became a trend forecaster by saying, you know, I bet gold and oil prices will go up. And I'm a young guy. I'm in my 30s, early 30s, 31, 32 years old. And I started playing the futures markets. And I had a $10,000 bet that I almost made $750,000 with.
Wow.
And that's when I quit my job. I was the number two guy running a major trade association. But anyway, I lost a lot of that dough, too, in a wild time.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, I've been there, done that, my friend.
Yeah, you know. Oh no, I led a perfect life. You know, I could be your president. You know, I've never done anything wrong. Yeah, get out of here. But anyway, that's how I learned to be. That's when I became a political atheist. And now we're talking about the elections and what they look like and what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a picture of me. It was a big newspaper in Yonkers, which was a big city in Westchester County.
Mm-hmm.
I was running the campaign coordinator of the guy who ran for mayor of Yonkers, a city of 220,000 people. He became the longest running mayor, Angelo Martinelli. I worked on political campaigns throughout Westchester County. I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate at 26 years old.
You know your politics, you know political strategy, not like some of these idiots who appear on CNN and Fox and stuff and don't know what the hell they're talking about.
And I designed and instructed a course called American Politics and Campaign Technology, how to run political campaigns.
Hmm.
So I was on the other side, and I quit. And none of my friends could believe I quit. May rest in peace. Brian Donahue, whose wife became the lieutenant governor under Pataki in New York.
So
nobody could believe that I quit. I said, I'm not going to take this crap. I'm not going to suck my way up to the... I mean, this isn't for me. You know?
So bring that to the present. The present election, you saw what I thought, how I break down Kamala Harris and Donald Trump right now. She's kind of faking her way through, but doing it with a smile, and it seems to be working. He's talking about everything but what I think he needs to talk about. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Again, it's she is a big connection in California with Disney World. And like you were saying before, they gave her the script. And that's all this is. It's a presidential reality show. It's Disney has taken over Washington, and it's Minnie Mouse running against Donald Duck. All right?
Okay. Okay. Now,
I mean, it's a freak show. It's a freak show. Again, we own the trademark presidential reality show. I took it out when Trump was running, and we had forecast in May of 2016, when everybody said Trump would lose, we say this cat's going to win.
So why the severe turn in the way things have gone in the last 30 days or so? And why was Trump's reality show, if you want to call it that, so effective 4.5 years ago, and it doesn't seem to be working now? Why? What do you see there?
He beat Clinton, who I used to call, I appropriately named Hillary Clinton, because the people were disgusted with the establishment. That's why he won. And again, he's a New Yorker and so am I. And it's a different attitude. I'll never forget when they had the debate and he goes over to little Georgie Bush and puts his arm around Jeb Bush and puts his arm around him in a debate and said, you're really a nobody. And little Bush just stood there like this. And so that's how, so if Trump put his arm on me, I said, get your arm off me. But they don't have that. He had that New York spirit that the people were looking for. But he's so narcissistic, he's only involved with himself.
Yeah.
Before we went on the air, this just came out. Trump continued attacks on Harris's rise stir fears he could question election outcome.
Oh, God. This again. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's saying that it's an unconstitutional and accused her of taking part in a coup.
But when you do that, I'm not as good a messenger as you, but I understand what being off message is. When you say that, you're talking about losing. Why are you talking about, right? Did I get that right?
This is from our Trends Journal. We sent out a special trend alert on 2 weeks ago. The Trends Journal had forecast that Joe Biden would step down and Kamala Harris would run for president in 2024.
Mm.
And now we forecast, minus a wild card, such as a stock market crash, Harris will beat Donald Trump in the race for the White House.
Wow, you're official. You're forecasting that now, for your
minus a wild card. And again, people say I'm a futurist. No, nobody can predict the future. There's too many wild cards.
What's the wild card? What has to happen for Trump to win? Tell me.
The economy has to go down really hard. There has to be a market crash. Something. There's an old saying, and by the way, this was a T-shirt, just to tell you how I feel about both sides of the game. This was when Bill Clinton was running for office. Did you see that?
Beware, and I can't, oh, Suck Willie? Slick Willie.
Slick Willie.
Slick Willie, got
yeah,
it.
Slick
okay.
Willie, Suck Willie, Greenberg, Iceberg, what's the difference? I'm sorry, what was the question?
What has to happen for Trump to win, since you're predicting that
so
she will?
Say, again, they used to say during the Clinton campaign, it's the economy, stupid.
Yeah.
That's what the people are most concerned about. So minus that, because this is going on right after the crash of 87. Everything was down. Now things are tough. Things aren't great. But if it stays the same or just gets a little worse, Harris will win. It has to be a real crash to bring in Trump, as we forecast.
Do you agree that if she wins, it's not so much because of what she did, more so because of what he didn't?
No, the big issue, again, this is from your magazine. Again, it's not what you like, what you want, what you wish for. The abortion issue.
Mm.
If you talk about that, I want abortion. I hate abortion. No, I don't care what you hate or want. I'm just telling you what's going on.
Mm.
So here's from the magazine. Again, we wrote this in May of 2022 during the midterm elections. We said that this is May 17th, 2020. Harris has aspirations to be president of the United States, and she knows that her boss is an unpopular president who is 79 years old. She wants to be the party standard bearer and needs to start making a name for herself if she runs for president again. Being that the Biden administration is viewed as ineffective in bringing down inflation, and strongly boosting the economy. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Harris will seize upon abortion rights.
And she has.
And that's what she did. You go by the numbers. It's not what you want, what you like, you're pro or anti. And then again, this is from the magazine on May 23rd. NBC News noted that the Public Policy Research Institute ran a national poll in February that found 64% of Americans think abortion should be legal in most cases.
The numbers are listen, I get the point. And I think that you've construed it in such a way so that it's hard to deny that the trend, and nobody knows trends more than Gerald Celent, is heading in that direction. So listen, we're out of time. Can you come back? I want to do this again.
I'd love to. Yeah.
You're kind of my kind of guy. I'm a little loud too, and I like to tell things like they are. And I think sometimes, although I'm certainly as imperfect as the next guy, it's important to have these types of conversations. Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you, and thanks for all that you do. I really appreciate being on.
All right, that's our show. Remember, always look outside your own box when you're looking for truths. Be a little more like Gerald. Don't live in boxes. Truths don't live there. I'm Rick Sanchez. We'll be looking for you next time.